Hello, welcome to Holden Village. Today is July 1st, 2005. Today's session is a forum entitled Lutherans and Catholics Worshiping Together. Is that allowed? Facilitated by members of the Mission of Atonement Congregation. Disc number FO-2005-19.
This inspiration was not from me. I was just asked to welcome everybody and get started because I'm currently serving as the president of the steering team for the community. So I'll give a brief introduction and then invite everyone from the community to share something and then we can have questions and conversation. And this forum also, to give you a sense of the community, this forum was planned in a very typical MOTA style. Yeah. One person had an inspiration, started talking about it. It was loosely organized, and we're trusting that what needs to happen will happen. This is how almost everything works in our community. At the beginning of every service, we start with an introduction of our community because we are unusual, and a lot of people go by and see the sign and don't know what it is and want to come in and check it out. And so I'll try to say the first part of that to give you a sense of who we are. We're a community of Roman Catholics and Lutherans. We're a single community that respects both of our traditions while celebrating our unity in Christ, I believe is how we say it at our services. And we come together every Sunday as one community to worship, and then we separate during the Eucharist while we sing a blessing over one another, and then we come back together for fellowship for hospitality afterwards. And then on the fourth Sunday of every month, we stay together the entire time, and it's lay-led service, and we symbolically celebrate Eucharist by having a potluck afterwards. So that's kind of the structure of our weekly gatherings. I think we just wanted to invite everyone from the community to share a piece of why they're there, and that would probably give a really good sense of who we are. I don't know if you want to do it around in a circle. Can you start one?
Did you want me to read the... This is a statement that we came together as a community to make, and one person was mostly responsible, but we all had a part of it. I don't know if we should call it our mission statement or our opening prayer or what, but it goes, we are an Easter people, arms wide open away, moving with the Spirit on the road to justice, weaving the word in the tapestry of our lives, knowing that God's kingdom is now.
One other thing, actually, does somebody want to give a really brief history of how it started, just to give a context?
We have been members of this community for 36 years, and so we went through a lot of the pain of what happened before it became a Lutheran Catholic community. It was a Lutheran church that was started at a time where a bunch of mission churches were all called Atonement Lutheran. All over the
country. 1961, I believe.
And we joined, as I said, 37 or 38. And the way this came about, we all had a different origin. We had a dwindling number of people in the congregation, and our Lutheran pastor at the time, who had been raised as a Catholic, was in a program at a monastery, a spiritual director type program, I think. And he raised the issue of our needing help financially by maybe sharing the building. And there was a Catholic priest in that community who picked up on this idea and began to create a vision of maybe more than sharing the building could happen, because he was particularly concerned about Lutheran and Catholics marrying, because it was a community that had a lot of Lutherans and Catholics. And he came up with this idea, wouldn't it be nice if the if Lutherans and Catholics could come together and do something, you know, together. And then this was taken to the Archdiocese, and assistant bishop really also promoted the idea, and he went to a nearby Catholic church and asked them if they'd be willing to have some of their members look at, you know, doing something with us. So I remember it being a meeting where we all got together and began to talk about this, and the idea just kind of grew, and beginning to meet together and having the services together. That's all. So do you want to give your version of
it? Well, we first thought about just sharing the building. Then we talked about some programs, and then it just sort of moved. I'd say the spirit moved, and we decided to do everything we could together. And we didn't see communion and Eucharist as being a possibility at that point, although it's been tried a number of times since. And I don't think we need to go into more history. That's enough history. So.
Yeah, if you want more information, maybe you can ask a question.
Do you
want to
start saying why you're there?
Well, to begin with, I experienced a lot of transformation in my life before it was a Lutheran church, and then I was in a small group movement where I moved from being a math teacher to being a social worker. So it was a real big transformation in my life. And the community, the Lutheran community that I was involved with, had a big part to play. So I had a strong commitment to staying in this community, and I never really had any inclination to leave when we were going through this transition. And also, I really liked the idea of two cultures. It's kind of like going to a different country. An example of cultural differences is language really means different things to Lutherans and Catholics. For example, a retreat, I found out Catholics have a totally different idea of what should happen at a retreat. Or membership, whole different concept. And also one other point, Catholics, I found, that really focus on the Eucharist, where Lutherans tend to focus on the sermon as being the center of the worship service.
Okay. It's hard to pick out one reason, but I think the other people are, in general, very committed, quite progressive. It's the most inclusive community I've been a part of. Except for maybe Holy Village. Those are three reasons.
The first time I found out about our church was at a women's Bible study, and the gal sitting next to me, his name was Linda, and she, when we said the Our Father as the opening prayer, she said Our Father, Mother. And I was just, I couldn't even finish the prayer. First time in my life I'd ever heard that. And so afterwards I was just, you know, what was this? Why did you say Our Father and Mother? And you always do that? And where did you start doing that? So she told me why. We always see that at our church. So then I went home and told my husband that I met this gal and that they have an interesting church that has Catholics in it too. And,
wait, are you Catholic?
I'm a Catholic, yeah. And so anyway, we prayed about it and eventually started at the church. And we love it. We absolutely love it. It has really broadened our views of Christians. We've met some fantastic people in the community. we were immediately welcomed and continue to be feel like we are all at one. It was very nurturing.
Daddy.
Our children have come, our children were pretty much all moved out by the time we just discovered this. And so they have come with us on occasion, like Christmas service and or Easter. And it's different. One of our daughters is in a Lutheran church with her family, and some aren't going to church. So it's, I don't want to go back.
I'm Catholic, like my wife. I was baptized in the Augustana movement, confirmed in the Missouri Synod. Eventually, you know, before we married, I converted to Catholicism. I guess the biggest thing is that I know people, and they know me, and they care about me, and I care about them. Which in a bigger church, I don't know, and I assume both any Lutheran or Catholic or any other church, when you get it so big that you only know people because you go to at a certain time and you sit in a certain seat and you know the people around you, basically. But this was different. And the first time I went there, after we in coffee and the donuts or whatever was available, that drew me. The first person I talked to was the son of the pastor who had confirmed me in Vancouver, Washington, as a in the Missouri Synod. And it was more than weird. I mean, it was providential, I think, in some way to draw me in that way. It's just been a good experience. I had some poor experiences. I served on the council within the Catholic Church, and there was some game playing of different kinds where, I just felt like I'd wasted my time. I could have stayed home and read a book and been much happier. I've never experienced that at this church. I experienced what the people say is what they mean, which is, I think, the way it should be if you believe in you're following your Christian faith.
Could I suggest that you share, if you feel like it, about why you're here and what brought you here?
Sure. I am a member of the Evangelical Covenant Church, so I find Lutheran culture and Catholic culture fascinating. and adding another twist to it, I do produce video and television for the Archdiocese of Detroit. So I was raised a Catholic, and I'm quite familiar with Catholicism. One of my values to the Archdiocese is I know what goes where and when. So I find this thing really fascinating, and I'm just really curious to see how y'all put it together. And the whole time as I'm listening to you talk, I'm trying to imagine something like this happening in the Archdiocese of Detroit, and how it could work, and why it isn't happening already. That's why I'm here.
I'm Dennis Miller. I've been with the Atonement for probably about 18 and a half years. I'm a Catholic. My wife Diane is a Lutheran. For many years we went to each church on Sunday, and so when we found out that there was a church that was going to be both, it sounded like a great deal. But at the time I was musician at the church that I was going to, and it took me about a year to get disengaged. Meanwhile, she became secretary at another Lutheran church, so we're still not able to go to the same church at the same time, most of them. But my time at Atonement has been sort of like 20 years of crisis, or on the verge of crisis. 2 weeks after I got there, the person that was keeping track of accounting for the community stood up and announced that we have bills to pay and we've got about enough money to go 2 more weeks. After that, that was probably the end. Okay, well, nothing got any better, but we're still there. the priest, Father Matt, who I think deserves a lot of the credit for our remaining in existence, was a Franciscan, gave great sermons, and never intended to stay more than 2 weeks. he felt that there was a need, and he was happy to fill that need, but it wasn't what he wanted to do. And so he didn't ever take on the mantle of a pastor or the guy in charge. He wanted somebody else to be in charge. He wanted us to be in charge. Being a parish priest wasn't what he wanted, but he fulfilled his dream and left us after only 15 or so years. At that time, it was looking real bleak because Catholics are sort of short on priests, and we're this little community of maybe 30 Catholic families, and we're going to get a priest of our own, and we weren't too sure that our bishop was really, going to support this. And so we spent a half a year working up a plan of what we would do next, maybe get a nun to come and become, at least a spiritual director or something of that nature. The bishop said, no, Catholics don't do it that way, and gave us a priest. Okay, who turns out to be great also. And he also isn't into running anything. So again, the community pretty much figures out what we're going to do and how we deal with the various crises that are always coming up. Our roof leaked real bad for a lot of years, but that's fixed now too.
Well, as he said, I belong to another church, but I visit sporadically, so I have sort of an outsider perspective. And the differences are that Mission of the Atonement is much more intentional. The people who are there are not there by accident because they happen to be born in the neighborhood or their parents went there or something. They're all there with an intent. And it shows. The laity are more empowered. They do more things. It's a hard church to hide in. And I was there one Sunday. Well, every Sunday, a layperson gives the children's sermon. And I was there one Sunday when someone popped up at the front and said that whoever the layperson was who was supposed to give the children's sermon was sick that day, and could they have a volunteer? And 3 hands went up. In my experience, that's not unusual. That's unheard of. And I don't know what the other 2 would have been like, but the one who did it gave a Cracker Jack children's sermon. So that's what I see from my perspective.
This is my daughter, Connie Swanson, who at the time when we joined about 14, 15 years ago was not here yet, obviously. She's about to celebrate her 12th birthday. So I think that there's so many reasons I'm there that are embodied in what other people say, that what I can offer uniquely is, as a Catholic, my name is Mary and I'm a Catholic, and this is my husband Bruce, who's a Lutheran. Other than that, I'll let him speak himself. So our daughter Connie has one of those unique experiences where what we experience is normal to her. So it is hard for her to articulate then what is unique, because this is just her church. So she's Catholic and Lutheran. She was baptized Lutheran and took First Communion as a Catholic, because those are two times in the sacramental life that we need to declare. So those declaration points used to be very stressful to even think about, being married and what we could do and with kids, and that stress is just a memory. And we sit in communion with other couples, as asked usually by Father Matt, to sit with couples who are contemplating marriage or meeting the sacramental stages and trying to work with extended family pressures, and is the kid really Catholic or Lutheran, and that, you know, just that whole piece of stress. So it's gone for us, and it is like a blast from the past how real it is when we sit with other couples who are dealing with that in a new way. I will invite Connie after Daddy speaks if she feels so moved to articulate anything that she enjoys about church. She was the first child to dance in the corner when we came. It was a crisis time when we came. And Dennis used to say, everybody's leaving. And Bruce and I would say, we're here. And Dennis would say, well, everybody's leaving. And we'd say, we're here. And so we came in at a time when, one of the transition times, a sort of adolescence of sorts, I think. Some people left and grew different ways, and some people were staying, and some new people were arriving. When Connie was born, though, she was the first of a generation of children, because there really wasn't a peer for her. There now are other families with children her age and below. But so it is a long service. It's an hour and a half, usually, in part because it is intentional. I'm never tired, never bored, never not engaged. It is, we have wonderful speakers. Father Matt is just a transcendent fellow beyond words, in my opinion. The spirit that he was there in was remarkable, and his empowering of people was very intentional. And he told me that he started out as a Catholic coming to help, and really stayed because of the laity community of the society, the ability to nurture them. So, we had a mixed up couples group for a while, which was very good. So it was mixed traditions couples. And for us, when we joined, that group experience was great. We did half-time serious talks. We met once a month, and the other half of the time we just went out for, you know, beer and bowls and social. And so we have a pub in Portland, I should explain, that is family-friendly, that has hamburgers and beer and stuff. So that's where that... We're bullying with the kids. So anyway, it's when I then went on to become pregnant with twins, I had a sister who entered a high-risk pregnancy in the San Francisco area, not with twins, and we needed help because I had a toddler and I was on bed rest. And so for 3 months I was to be in bed and not get up except for a fast shower. So I got a freezer. I sent Bruce to get a freezer out in Gresham, and this community, who was about half the size then, made casseroles of every sort and kept us fed for 6 months. So not only that, but really allowed, I believe, me to nurse the babies, and the food was great, and the spirit in which it came. And to contrast that with my sister, who... you know, they just always, they had food, they ordered out all the time and had takeout and had delivered pizza and things like that. I don't know that anybody ever brought them a casserole. So we're proud to say we sort of started the casserole brigade.
I'm going to share a little bit more of the logistics maybe. We have a half-time woman pastor and a now quarter-time Catholic priest. Our previous priest was considered half-time. And our current priest It's only quarter time because he's come out of retirement for this, plus he does a bunch of other helping around the community with other churches. So the church is very much led and run. We have a steering team that we ask people to serve a two-year term. We've got people like Dennis who kind of takes, grab the music and helps coordinate things, and other people coordinate and really help out and make the whole thing work. So when we joined, the average attendance was maybe 50 to 60, and now we're probably 130 every Sunday. Our financials are much better off. We've got our building fixed up. It's not leaking anymore. So it's just, we've been growing in so many different ways. It's been so enriching. I think I'll just come up there.
Did you
want to
say anything else, Quinn?
No.
I did want to say something else about Connie, which was why I talked about how long the services was, because it's a long time for a child. She wanted to be there. My children have always wanted to be there. They have never gone to child care, even at our urging. We have always had many people offer to hold babies when we were inundated with them, and of course the babies wouldn't necessarily go, but anyway, Connie started dancing in the corner when it was appropriate during the music times, when it wouldn't be disturbing to other people, and there is now quite the little toddlers, anybody under five is usually twirling around somewhere, and so when it was the songs that could be danced to, she would dance in the corner and started that.
That's one of the really interesting or gratifying things in that church, that at this point, almost every Sunday you see kids dancing in the aisles during the hymns.
Thank you.
My name is Jennifer Bash, my husband Gary, and we're both Catholic, and we came to a mission of attendment about 5 years ago when we moved back to the Beaverton area. I grew up in the area and went to a very traditional Catholic church in that area. My parents still live in the community and still go to the very traditional Catholic church. I had just been looking for something that was a little bit less traditional. And we were experimenting, trying different communities out in the area, and this was a community that was fairly close to my parents, and we go by it quite often. And we're really drawn to the welcoming atmosphere. I think we've, in the last 5 years, just really begun to appreciate how inclusive it is, especially with two daughters, having the role model of a female pastor, Lutheran pastor, as you know, and gives very enriching homilies. We think that's a great role model for our kids to have, seeing women as taking a larger part in the church, which you don't get in the Catholic tradition. But the children are so embraced in the community, and I think that just brings such value to our family. And there are so many families now, I can't imagine what it was like when you guys first came, because now it's just a very family friendly atmosphere. There's a lot of kids in this place.
My wife said, my name's Gary. The only thing I would add is that the first time that we visited, it was an accident, I think. The accident was that we stumbled in on the final Sunday of the month. And has anybody spoken about that? More of our regular service, the first few Sundays of the month. We stay together through the homily and the intentions and peace, and then we separate, and the Catholics or the Lutherans will travel to our community hall and do the breaking of the bread and Eucharist there in separation. But then on the last Sunday of the month, we all stay together and do a lay-led service, and afterwards we do a potluck there. And we accidentally came that time, and it's surprising how many people I think that visit end up coming on that particular Sunday. And someone came up to us and said, "Oh, don't worry, it's not always like this." The first time we came was one of these Sundays too. There's all these Catholic expectations just kind of tugging at me, like, this isn't right, this isn't normal. And we thought about it. Us going to church there is very intentional, and it's those experiences of the final Sundays that really keep us going back. Having homilies that are led by seeing what kind of creative services come together from the community. Those are what really make it special. And there's such a celebration of family and life and children and elders that it feels like the right place to raise our kids. And they usually stay with us all through the hour and a half long service, and they love to dance in the aisles.
I'm Mike Gettle Gilmartin, and I'm originally from a country called the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. A Catholic from that country, so from Irish origin. And I met my wife Marie in Japan. In 1987, we were teaching there, and as we got to know each other, she remarked from one of the letters from her parents that she was, her church, her Lutheran church, and I had never met a Lutheran before, but her Lutheran church was going to become a Lutheran Catholic church, which to me just sounded totally bizarre. And anyway, I found myself visiting when I came to visit the United States in 1988, and it didn't seem that shocking to me, really, because although it wasn't your traditional smells and bells and statues and things, I felt that great warmth, and I also felt that the liturgy of the Lutheran Church was not that divorced from the Catholic, really. Despite what you said about the Eucharist being so central, I mean, there really is not that much divergence in the Lutheran tradition. So Marie and I got married in the church. We really enjoyed it. Oh, I must introduce Kieran, who's really enjoying the music of Holden, as you can see, and sings all the time. Hi, sweetie. Just felt totally welcomed, not just as a Catholic, but also as a foreigner. And really benefited from the intentional and just the love of this community when our older son, Christopher, who's now 8, was born, and he was born at 24 weeks of gestation with only 1 pound and 6 ounces. In the hospital for 4 months, we were just held up by this community. As you can imagine, a terrible time for us, very, very full of fears. And we had the casserole brigade as well come to our aid.
And it sort of overlapped with theirs.
We had our babies before the twins came along, but I think it's a wonderful place for children too. And we can bring in Kieran, who, as you can see, is not silent. And nobody seems to bat an eyelid, really.
I think just to add to that, I think the family-friendly orientation is really important to us at this stage in our lives. And I like the fact that our children don't think of themselves as Lutheran or Catholic. We all have to make a choice of how to baptize our children. We cannot baptize them Lutheran or Catholic, which is really painful for us.
Lutheran and
Catholic.
What did
I say?
Lutheran or Catholic.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know Lutheran Catholic. We can't baptize them together, but the priest and the pastor are both involved in all the baptisms. But we have to make a choice on who actually does the water. And it's a really difficult choice for all of us, even though they're both involved. It's, we have to actually make a conscious decision. But even though they have to make a choice at baptism time and at First Communion time, which they're going to go Lutheran Catholic, they consider themselves Lutheran Catholic. Our children will say, well, I'm Lutheran Catholic. They won't say I'm Lutheran or I'm Catholic, no matter who their parents are. So I love that, and I love the fact that our children are growing up believing that there's more than one pathway to God. That it's not, you have to be Catholic. And even to the point where, the Lutheran pastor asked us whether our son, because now the Lutheran church allows Lutheran communion, whether we wanted our child to have communion, and we decided that we didn't want him to have the idea that he could have communion on the Lutheran side, but he couldn't have it on the Catholic side until he got to a certain age. So, you know, it's kind of those types of questions that we have to grapple with. But the other thing I was thinking about is that the whole phrase that it takes a village to raise a child, and not only have a number of us been really supported in difficult periods of our lives, but there's also a family in our church that is, they're medical foster parents, and they have all these children with special needs, and one of them is, she's like 9 or 10, and she has myotonic dystrophies, quite a few delays, and she just kind of wanders around the church through, you know, the service, and you know, sits next to people, puts her arms around them, and every member, every child that that family brings is really embraced by the community. And that's just really touching to me, so.
Hi, today, and I love my church, or our church. My church. I love going, and when I first went there, I felt welcomed, and I kept coming back with my godmother, and I was baptized in that church. I've never had any religious background until I started coming, and I had these nice ladies on my baptism team, and what I really love about our church is that it reminds us that we have to grow, and that we all should remember that we should have room to grow, to allow growth in our church and in our soul. And so that's what I love most of all, that Pastor Lori will remind us that we need to think that we're still not there, that we still have ways to go to get there. And that's what I need when I come to church. I need to be reminded that I need to work on things to help the world.
Well, I guess for me, I have really appreciated coming into contact with inclusive language, because I see that a lot of violence is perpetrated because people use God, he, as, you know, using kind of the wrong language and excusing their behavior. And my husband and I were missionaries for many years. And when I came back to the United States, I found out that during the Vietnam War, 68,000 men had lost their lives. 58 or 60, probably 50. Had lost their lives in the Vietnam War, and during the same period of time, 54,000 women in this country had been murdered by their husbands or significant others. And to me, that said that there is a societal something happening within our society that we are not looking at. And so, to me, inclusive language became very, very important. I don't always remember it because that isn't the way I was raised. But there are certain things that go on in my church that I notice, and it's like, yes, this is the way I really want to be intentional about how I worship and what becomes really internal within me to express. So that's been a good piece.
My name's
Bennett,
and I'm a lapsed Presbyterian and kind of spent a number of years exploring other religions, and then eventually became Catholic, which is kind of an oddity, I think, in some ways. I've been Catholic for now since 94, so 11 years. And I knew the priest who was there from doing peace and justice work in the community. I knew his name. I'd met him and talked to him in another context, and he had never mentioned Mission of the Atonement. And I was so surprised when we moved to the west side and I happened to drive down the street and see his name on the sign for the church. And I went, oh, I better go try this place. This sounds really good. So I went one Sunday, and I brought John along with me the next Sunday, and we just never left. And ended up, actually, we got married in that church shortly thereafter. And I'll let him talk more about this, but I think one of the things I really appreciate about Mission of the Atonement is our commitment to social justice.
Is that my entree?
Sure.
First of all, I don't ordinarily dress like this. I haven't recently been to Hawaii. But this is is a new tradition we're starting here at Moda, I guess. It's been happening all week because there's been several birthdays. So today is my birthday. And what strikes me most about Moda is the welcoming. When I went there the first time, it's like, I don't know how many people approached me. But the church, I was a cradle Catholic, went away for a long time and then came back to the Catholic Church. And the church I had gone to prior to Moda, I was there for 7 years and never felt as welcome there as I did at Mission Regional on the very first Sunday. And, you know, I still see that, and it brings me out myself to greet people and make them feel welcome. And as Bennett's mentioned, the commitment to social justice is very strong. Father Matt is very committed to that, so is Father Neil, our priest now. And so are the people. I mean, we get as many people coming to the justice team meetings at Mission of the Atonement as we used to get a five times bigger church than we used to go to. Right. And there's groups that have sort of branched out from that have really brought about some good work in the parish. So, all right. What else? And the fact that, you know, people mentioned this already, but you see a female in the pulpit giving a sermon every other week is, you know, a Catholic would not ever see that. Another connection that just reminded me of is that we reached out to a mosque after September 11th and connected with them and have gone to their services and they've come to ours, and it feels like a real good connection. We need to rekindle that, but it's been a way to find out and make real what, you know, some of their traditions are and what they're really about instead of what you hear in the media. So it's been a great experience.
My name is Jim Bernclaw, and I'm not a member of MOTA, but I am related to one that is. Christy over here is my daughter. And we've attended several times. Another reason I came besides to be with Christy today is to learn more about MOTA itself, because we've attended a number of times and enjoy it. And even though my wife and I belong to a Lutheran congregation about 5 miles away, we get to attend once in a while and do enjoy it. So it's fun here.
I'm just learning, where is this church?
Okay, Virgin, Oregon, just west of Portland.
Portland.
Okay.
I mean, I've often thought with all the politics and the gay and the social justice and everything going on, that certainly I and the Lutheran Church am much closer to many people in the Catholic Church, the Presbyterian Church, the Methodist Church, than I am in my own Lutheran Church. Okay. I think you're good ones. Just because you're a Catholic doesn't mean that you're conservative. You know, I mean, you can't. I guess what I'm trying to say is, your religion really doesn't label who you are and what you believe. Again, we all mess up on that, but that's what it seems to me. I can relate. Our minister left, and we got a new minister, and he came in and he preached on the 4th of July. He preached and he waved the flag. He said, "How we had to return to our basic things and throw out all the gays and lesbians." And that was the last sermon he ever preached there. Praise God.
My name is Nancy, and I met Bob on the ark yesterday or the day before, and my jaw just dropped when I found out about this church, because I was raised Catholic and my husband was raised Missouri Synod. Lutheran, and we've been married for going on 12 years now, and we still have yet to find a church home that feels right to both of us. You know, there's still in me, it's the voice of my mother, really, that's keeping me from going and becoming a Lutheran. And Brad's, it's Holden that's keeping him from really a traditional church situation as well. Because he was here in the late 80s, and nothing, he's spoiled from this community, because nothing that we have found really fills him up the way Holden has done. And I wish he was here right now, because I wanted to come and just hear, what can I do to get this started in Minnesota, in my hometown, or maybe we have to pass.
talking to Lynn Rhodes before, and she said she really wanted to be here, but she's teaching next door. And she said, you must have had a really liberal Catholic archbishop when you started this.
Wasn't Ken Steiner the kind of in between, the interim bishop when it started?
Well, he was helping us out. But, I mean, Archbishop Leveda tolerated us for a long time.
Yes.
You know?
Tolerance barely.
Yeah, I mean, he did, though. He didn't close us down.
I remember going to a meeting and he was real supportive at that meeting. I know my wife was there too.
Yeah.
Bishop Leveda.
You know, from a Lutheran background, I've heard there's just two things that the Catholic Church has not done that Luther is mainly sticks on. One of them, or asked, and one of those for the priests getting married, and I don't even remember what the other one was. But there has been a reference, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
the first Catholic Church I went to, they sang a Martin Luther hymn. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. I find it intriguing, the traditional differences, because as a Catholic, I always love the saint stories, and I've been doing the writing here and the story, telling your story and experience. And, it has been, I wouldn't want to, the Lutherans don't do that, and I would really miss that. And I think that our community is sort of growing toward a time when they explore the saint stories, probably. But part of what Connie experiences is the difference in the Eucharist, and it surprises me that the Lutherans are the ones who kneel down for the Eucharist.
They do?
Yeah. And they like to kneel down. And there was a conversation at some point about that.
Yeah,
it depends on what, not always, but.
At the altar?
At the altar we do.
At the rail.
Oh. Yeah, we have an altar rail.
The Catholics don't.
Catholics don't do that one.
Just walk up and.
I didn't know the Catholics
did.
It's like
a rebellion. Yeah. Yeah, there's a whole lot. We have evolved since the twins used to use the metal chairs as drums, and there were more of them than us. We started just staying instead of sort of, okay, we're going to do Lutheran or Catholic or whatever. We just started staying in the main sanctuary, and so we get a smattering of both. Mm-hmm. So it's a way of participating in both without having to have a discussion every Sunday.
I guess one of my questions is with the Eucharist, I know that in the Catholic Church, the Eucharist is the center of the Mass, the Eucharist is it. And how, like somebody said, we baptized one of our children Catholics, one of our children Lutheran, and, you know, we had a painful experience with my mother. Now, she was going to boycott the Lutheran baptism because she didn't feel it was really baptism. When we took words from the Pope himself, who said Christian baptism, you know, you're baptized as a child of Christ no matter what. And that's what probably got her. But then from there, you had your child make the first communion with the Catholic. So how does that work for them? What's the next step then?
We don't know yet. We had Connie take Catholic Eucharist, in part because she doesn't really understand the transubstantiation discussion. I'm not sure that I do, but we wanted her to be able to experience both. I want her to go into a Catholic church that's traditional, that's huge, that has stained glass windows, and recognize the hymns, and they recognize Catholicism as a place kind of like a mission. They can go into a Lutheran church and recognize it as kind of as a home for them. So that's important to me, that they have both of those roots is important to me. And it's important to me that the community is not just Christian, that it is two traditions. So when we approach confirmation, because it is mission and small, we have some say about when and how that happens. And Connie will have some say about when and how that happens. And certainly what has happened in my discussions 2 years ago with Pastor Lori, what is going to happen if Father Matt was there then? And when do we do it, and how does that happen? And it feels for us that it's going to be sooner rather than later. Some families have chosen to wait until 18. I think we're going to do it sooner. And Connie will be making a choice of some matter, but it's very clear in my mind that a choice of a 13-year-old is very different than a choice of an 18-year-old, which is very different than 25, which is different than 50. And so for me, it's freeing me up as I get closer and closer that the Spirit will guide us to do what's right for her Christian development, and her continued participation is really what it's all about. And so whatever nurtures that will be what happens. And also the mother, father voice, et cetera, in my head, the Catholic. I have a conservative Catholic brother priest who will provide me with information that
is needed. Keep you on the straight and narrow.
Yeah. Actually, when Father Matt left, he and I had a very, he was very supportive. He said, you know, the archdiocese might not be the source, maybe the orders are the source, etc. So somewhere in his heart and soul, this has penetrated. But it's not as important as time goes on, and it's their life, and it becomes more their life. Just sort of is evolving as needed. So,
I'd like to add one thing that I was very sad in our family. We have five children, and one of our daughters, my daughter and her husband and family are going to a Lutheran church. They were both baptized Catholic. at the baptism of their third child, Mackenzie has a Lutheran sponsor, and I was a Catholic sponsor. And I've never been in that situation before. I haven't heard of it. But it was a welcoming thing by the pastor in that church, and she will forever have both sponsors. And it was wonderful. We both got to hold the baby, and it was such an unusual, wonderful feeling of we're finally together.
This is Missouri Synod.
Well, that is
right. Yeah.
I have a question for the members. As I listen to as y'all go around the table, one question is, do you feel that you're moving towards something that isn't either Catholic or Lutheran? As a community?
No, we're not trying to create a new church or something different. We're just trying to celebrate the things that we can together.
Mm-hmm.
And, gently push on our churches, We've actually, William Levada, who was our archbishop for a while, is not only one right-hand man, so the Pope.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the questions he was asked in a joint meeting at our church with our Oregon Synod Lutheran bishop, we asked him, would you request or somehow join us in a letter to the Pope to ask for joint marriage, Catholic Lutheran marriages to have communion together. And he didn't really appreciate that question.
It was conscientiously drafted and delivered at a key moment during the
community.
So out of respect, but also to push the envelope.
He wasn't necessarily expecting that question. He opened it up for questions. And so he didn't.
We were a plant.
Yeah. He did appreciate being asked in an open forum like that. But so he did really give us an answer. I don't believe it. But now he has heard our message. He knows about us, and now he's in the Vatican.
As I recall,
then we were able to share the perspective with him that perhaps if marriages like ours are blessed by both communities, the children that result from that marriage would be embraced in both communities and be able to participate fully in the sacraments as the family. And that the family, I have absolutely no qualms about, as a family, we go Lutheran, we go Catholic, we go mission, and it's all 100%. And so it was also an opportunity to sort of provoke, okay, well, if you do that, and this is all, we got all the dispensations and everybody right to sprinkle the water and say the prayers and everything, so that we are recognized by both. And, so maybe there will be more recognition of the intersacramental similarities.
Well, that's what I hear people talking about, and what they're celebrating is this thing that is neither fish nor fowl. Which sounds like a third thing, like Galatians 3:28, we are neither Jew nor Greek, we are neither slave nor free, we are all one. which is as Christians where we should all be, but for some reason there's all these denominations.
I haven't heard the word ecumenism yet today, but that is our mission. That is our mission.
Yeah.
We're trying to help our be an example of that and push our churches to more of that.
Mm-hmm. When you look at the Reformation, you know, the breakup of the religions in Europe, you can pretty much determine or identify which type of tradition a person is going to belong to simply by what country they came out of.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at it, you know, we all pray to the same God, and the same God loves us all. And even though we have our traditions, yes, Christianity itself is more important than our tradition itself.
I'd like to make a point, too, that I think we benefit from the other tradition. Like, as Lutherans, we never have, at least in my experience, a strong emphasis on social justice, and the Catholics really have brought that to those messages. And another area is kind of that mystical quality that Catholics practice. I think Lutherans have not had a lot of tradition in that. And I think Catholics appreciate things about, I'll let them speak to that. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
The moment of, I find this really fascinating, the moment of separation, you come together as a community. What I'm hearing very strongly is intentionality, community. I was on staff at a like evangelical mega church, 1,600 families, it was huge. We went to a church plant, my wife and I now serve in a church where there's 250 families. So we also instantly felt that sense of community and involvement and personal, and instantly recognized that this is where we need to be. But, and this is what I'm hearing this in the room, you can see it in all of your faces, it's wonderful. That moment of separation, when it comes time to share the Lord's table, or to share the Lord's table, what does that feel like? I'm trying to imagine, like, all right, see you in a minute.
After
holding your hand and praising God, it's like, all right, listen, I'll be back.
But, you know, I think that our priest, Father Matt, I remember him saying when we first started going to the church almost 15 years ago, use that moment of separation. Well, first of all, we bless each other as we leave. But to remember that as the pain of separation that still separates our churches. That we have to remember that it is a painful moment that we do not all celebrate together.
And it is painful.
And we all are also
singing.
So we stand, we sing a blessing song, like Shalom or something else, face each other and bless each other.
Do you sit separately?
No, it's awkward getting up.
Someone described it as Thanksgiving dinner where there's, you know, everybody's sort of on top of each other and it's family in that sense that you're... My mother's a traditional Catholic, and her experience there, because she lives close by now, is very mixed. It has led her to, where do I go? Sort of a paralysis. Do I leave this family and go over there by myself? Now she's more comfortable with it. She has been in our home when we missed a Sunday and did some prayer stuff around the table and said, wow, that was powerful. And where her only thing she said was, wherever two are gathered in his name, he is there. Whatever. I'm not as good at the quoting as you are. Something along those lines. I will always remember that moment in my home with my mother, because that's really not very Catholic. I mean, in the sense that we missed church and we were honored as family for doing our own religious experience on a Sunday. Very not a good thing as Catholic. She's gotten more comfortable. It's very uncomfortable the first few times, I think. But I don't experience that anymore. I think it's a wonderful opportunity. And we make the communion bread at home on occasion. And it is neat to sort of take the bread and have everyone sharing it. But I love the times when we intentionally choose that this is a significant enough event that we stay together. My last comment is when you said, okay, we just held hands and now we're gonna say, okay, see ya, buddy. I was struck by the marriage symbolism of that. I mean, every day you're you're together and you go, okay, see ya. So it is painful in that sense that, you know, you go off, but it's sort of, you know, you're going to come together again. So it doesn't have a painful quality. It has a go do that, and then we'll get together and talk about it or something.
I think the other thing is that there are a lot of families that don't necessarily go with their traditional, I mean, there are a lot of Catholics who choose to be on the Lutheran side. I don't know how much of it is vice versa, but then there are couples who are Lutheran Catholic that alternate, and I think it's safe to say in this forum that we have a progressive enough priest that they have never looked askance at giving Lutherans communion. Ever.
Really?
So, oh yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
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 Well, that's an understanding within your community, because the people I work for, I mean, when we'll videotape priest ordinations, it's a huge event, you know. Right on the back of the book, the program that everybody gets is this long explanation where it sounds like they're inviting Christians of all kinds to be a part of this event, and we're thrilled that you're here. But by the way, if you're not baptized a Catholic, go to communion.
It's definitely, it's not something that we broadcast. It's interesting that we recently had a funeral of a mother of one of our members who's a Catholic family in a Catholic church, and a number of us went to the funeral, and the priest very specifically said, if you are Catholic, you may come up for communion. If you are not, you may stay seated. And there were a couple of Catholic, older Catholic women in the funeral who were practically dragging the Lutheran minister and her husband out of there for communion. They were so angry that this was said.
They almost didn't take communion.
Yeah, they were very upset by it. So it's kind of a little, you know, under the covers. It's not like we broadcast this, but I think the thing that you were mentioning about the whole baptism community thing, the thing that I struggle with as a Lutheran and really angers me about the Catholic Church is that if the Catholic Church truly recognizes Lutheran baptism as being Christian baptism, why can't they take communion?
Yeah.
Why? It makes no sense to me. And it really, that really is my point.
It's different.
The theology is different.
The theology. Yeah. Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like a true recognition of baptism.
But
that's where I struggle with it.
To the Catholic Church in India. Before I'd ever go to communion, I would go up to the priest and I would say, I am a Lutheran. And they'd say, what do you believe? And I said, I believe it is the body and blood of Christ. But I believe that that happens at a different time than you believe it happens. And they'd say, that's good enough for us. And I never got a priest.
When does it happen for you then? When does that transubstantiation happen?
Oh, when you take it.
Okay.
Oh, when you take
the bread and the wine, and they believe it's when you bless them.
When the priest does the magic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But I've never had a priest say no to me. So.
Bruce has found it very strange to be married to me because I work in democracy and community building and urban planning, and it's like the Catholics are just so not that. How can you be a member? And it's like anything that you grew up with, it just is, there's other things that I know as home there. But I never really knew, because it is that, to me a key difference is that individual empowerment somehow that the Lutherans have, that there's a, versus the magic of it happening to you as a Catholic, it's a little different somehow, so.
Are there more, I don't know how else to ask this, so I don't want to sound offensive. Do you think there are more disgruntled Catholics in your community that are looking for something that's a little broader than there are Lutherans that are looking for something that's a little bit tighter?
Absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
I struck in this conversation by how if they were disgruntled, they'd be outside. There's some quality about the attachment to Catholicism that
we have people that
thread still
rejected
okay,
attachment.
Marginal.
Yeah.
That's certainly
yeah.
True. Yeah.
It's interesting. No, it's a good question.
But the Lutherans don't experience it as something tighter. That's it feels looser to a lot of Lutherans too.
Yeah.
Because you know, we're changing. I mean, it's very dynamic. Things are happening.
Well,
it's
very Catholic influenced.
It's
a hard thing for some Lutherans.
Yeah.
We use the term homily, which we don't in the Lutheran tradition. We use a lot of Catholic terms, more Catholic terminology than we do Lutheran terminology, I think. So it is hard for some traditional Lutherans as well. But I think the fact that there are not as many people at this forum as, you know, we thought might be is, I think that's kind of says something, that there are more people who are, there are more pure Catholic families drawn to Mission of the Atonement than pure, I mean, Dave and Chris, you're one of the few pure Lutheran, you know, young families.
You are so pure.
The Lutheran part is not, it's probably half the size of the Catholic part of the community. And there are a number of us who are Catholic Lutheran. It's not as much a draw.
What I like to say is, by definition, we are non-traditional because of, we have to negotiate things and find compromise, you know, in certain things. So it can't be traditional as Lutherans. And I think Lutherans come and they feel a little bit uncomfortable with the fact that it's not what they're used to.
And some Catholics are the same way. Like we have a neighbor. We have a neighbor who thinks we're just right on the edge of falling off.
God bless you. This is amazing.
Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome to join anytime. It'll probably be a last second.